This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. You remember J.P. Morgan, right? Practically the last bank standing after the financial crisis. CEO Jamie Dimon, a vocal opponent of more banking regulations and restrictions. Yeah, that was a storyline until about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, Wall Street time, when Dimon said that the bank had lost $2 billion, maybe more, on some really, really bad bets. Details now and some analysis on our weekly wrap. Felix Salmon is here from Reuters. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville. Hey, guys.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
So, Felix, just to recap very, very briefly, these were bets on credit default swaps, which we know and love so well from the financial crisis. And it was not, as you might think, a rogue trader, right? This guy in London, the London Whale, he's called, had the full faith and credit of J.P. Morgan behind him.
And Jamie Dimon himself had come out and said that when people asked questions about what he was doing, he said it was a tempest in a teapot. Yeah.
Well, but really, Felix, I mean, Cardiff, help me out here, right? Because $2 billion, a lot of money. Basically and briefly, how did it happen?
Well, the problem is that we actually don't know a lot about this trade. So we know that it's related to this index of credit default swaps known as the CDX-9, and it took place in a part of the bank that's meant to hedge its excess deposits and invest them to hedge a part of its kind of lending portfolio. But we don't know exactly which part of its lending portfolio it was hedging against, and we also don't know exactly how they did it. So the lack of disclosure is really one of the difficult things about this. And in terms of how big the loss is going to be, the $2 billion is only what we know right now. But we're not going to have the full details on this until the position is unwound, and that's going to take a little while. So this story is just developing now, and there's still a lot more to find out.
Felix, this plays into all that we all thought was bad about banks to begin with, right? I mean, it's secret, it's complicated. Who understood half of what Cardiff just said right there with positions unwinding?
I was talking to Cardiff earlier, and it all made perfect sense for about 30 seconds yesterday afternoon. And then the more you know, the less you know. The more you go into this, the less it makes sense. And this is actually true of a lot of banking, but especially of investment banking and especially of derivatives. The more you look at them, the less they make sense. All that anyone knows is, as Barney Frank blessedly pointed out today, that J.P. Morgan, all on its own, managed to lose five times as much money with one bad trade as Jamie Dimon was complaining about that financial regulation was going to cost J.P. Morgan.
Right. Well, so let's go on that track then, Cardiff, and follow up with the congressional inquiry part of this. The SEC is looking at it. Carl Levin and Senator Corker said today they want to look at it. I mean, Jamie Dimon is going to be spending some time in front of a long green felt table, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting that something he said in the conference call was that this plays into the hands of the pundits, because another way he could have phrased that would have been, hey, I guess the pundits had a point. but definitely this is gonna bring more scrutiny. It's still impossible to know to what extent things like the Volcker Rule apply in this case, but certainly they're going to look at what this means for the kind of regulations that came out of Dodd-Frank and that they're still in the process of writing, because something that definitely has happened now is that the kind of myth of Jamie Dimon's like legendary banking prowess has been punctured to some extent, and it's going to lead to a more sober conversation about it.
J.P. Morgan invented risk management. Jamie Dimon was always saying, we know how to do risk management. No one's going to take that seriously anymore. And the SEC, if it wants to put some teeth in the Volcker Rule, which is the rule which is meant to prevent this kind of blow-up,
right. Felix, you know, remind people exactly what the Volcker Rule is, right?
So the Volcker Rule says that if you're a bank like J.P. Morgan, if you can borrow money from the Federal Reserve directly and basically have that taxpayer backstop, then you shouldn't be making bets with your money. You shouldn't be betting with taxpayer money. And that seems to be exactly what J.P. Morgan was doing. And what's more, Jamie Dimon says, and I believe him, that this entire trade was entirely Volcker compliant, that he could have continued doing these trades even after Volcker was put in place.
Yeah, so, but he's like, oh, you know, we found a loophole and this and that. And I mean, come on, right? Isn't that sort of violating the spirit of fixing this whole mess to begin with, Felix?
Oh, complete violation of the spirit of the Volcker Rule, yes.
Cardiff, on the streets of New York today, in the circle in which you guys move, is there just the teentiest bit of schadenfreude that Jamie Dimon finally got his?
Oh, of course. Right. And I think Lizzie O'Leary, who's a frequent guest on this show, called it Dimonfreude.
Dimonfreude, right.
Yeah. And I think there is, and part of the reason isn't just because he made a kind of snarky comment about journalists about a month ago, but also because there's the kind of feeling that he's been pretty smug about the issue of regulations for the last year or two. He's been sort of almost the spokesman of the entire banking community for it. And so people are looking at it, and they're probably enjoying it. But I think we should probably get on to looking looking at exactly how we should address banking so that these kinds of things are prevented in the future, then focus too much on that.
Yeah, that's next week's story. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville, Felix Salmon from Reuters. Thanks, guys. Have yourselves a good weekend.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you.